I want you to look at today's verse printed in your bulletin. Because I'd like to begin my sermon with a quick overview of verse 6 there as a background of my sermon. Be anxious for nothing. Did you know that worries are the killer of prayers? But in everything, it says, in everything means here, in every circumstance, or at all times. That's what it means. By prayer and supplication, we all know what prayer is, but what is supplication? Supplication literally means petition on behalf of others. In other words, when you pray, not only you pray for yourself, but pray for others as well. With thanksgiving, I want you to know thanksgiving is an essential ingredient of answered prayers. If you want to make sure that my prayers answer, be sure to bring thanksgiving in your prayer. And it says, let your requests be made known to God. Requests continually to be made to God's attention. That's what I'm going to talk about this morning. You see, our Father in heaven loves to interact with us, his children. Especially, he loves to spend time with you and me in prayer. 2 weeks ago, I said that prayer is not a requirement, but rather a relationship. We begin our prayer calling God in heaven, Abba, Father, Father. Prayer is also a rescue, I said last Sunday. It's 911 call, spiritual 911 call to God. In prayer, God hears our heart cry. Therefore, let us cry out to God on behalf of our children, I said, and God will rescue them, hearing our voice. This morning, we are going to continue our sermon series on prayer, and we'll think about the third aspect of prayer, which is a request. In prayer, we present our requests to God. In order for us to stay on the same page, I'd like to tell you what I mean by request. I'm just going with the standard definition in Oxford dictionaries. Request is an, I quote, act of asking, politely or formally, for something. Based upon that definition, I would say prayer request, therefore, is an act of asking the Heavenly Father for something that you and I need, or sometimes want. It is an act of asking for God's favor. The key word here is to ask, to ask. Did you know that it is God's command for us to ask Him for His favor? That means that asking God is not an option. It is not a suggestion either. Rather, it is a command. Now listen to Jesus, who says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. We love to quote that. And seek and you shall find, right? And knock, the door will be open. We love to quote that. But let's focus on the word ask. To ask is an imperative, isn't it? Even in English grammar, it's imperative. But in Greek grammar, it is not only an imperative, but in present tense, which carries the meaning of repeating. So literal translation of Jesus says, ask and it'll be given to you means keep on asking. Multiple times, repeatedly ask for what you need from God. That's what it means. You know, from time to time I run into individual Christians. You know, I'm not finding fault with them. They say, Pastor Choi, I don't want to bother God with small things that I need. I don't ask Him to. Well, I understand their independent mindset. However, you know what? Think of it. By not asking God, am I obeying him? His command. When Jesus says, ask. Like we obey all other commands such as love your enemy and rejoice and be thankful, why don't we obey him when he says, ask. Keep on asking. Even though God already knows what we need, God still wants and commands and expects us to ask him for our needs in prayer. Why? Because he is delighted in our relationship. He is eager to give what we ask for, his children ask for. He even gives us beyond what we ask for. Now listen to this, God's promise. Now to him, means God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. What he does? He's able to do far more abundantly beyond all we ask or think. Just remember, as a loving father, God in heaven loves to grant what his children ask for. To the point where John the Apostle repeatedly pointed out in several places in the Bible, whatever we ask for, whatever. I need to explain to you a little bit. When John the Apostle says that whatever we ask for, God gives, of course there's a caveat. It is whatever we ask within God's boundaries. That means it within God's will and within God's purpose. For instance, God will grant our prayers when we keep his commandments, such as to forgive. He answers our prayers when we do not ask for selfish gains, such as greed, or when we do not ask for evil cause. He answers. The point is, in whatever, is not whatever we wish, but whatever within God's boundaries. Now, many a time when we ask, we don't know what we exactly need, at least speaking for myself. Sometimes we don't realize what we are asking either. Have you ever experienced that? Here's a story of two brothers. Two brothers happened to be two out of 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. Their names were James and John. Both brothers were very ambitious brothers compared to other 10 disciples. So one day they came to Jesus and asked Jesus, Lord, Master, we want you to do whatever we ask you to do. Remember, whatever? So Jesus says, okay, what do you want? And they say, in your kingdom, when it comes down to your kingdom, when you're seated on your throne, please make sure that one of us seated on the right side and the other on the left side. In other words, make us, better and higher than the rest of us. To them, Jesus answered, you do not know what you're asking. Sometimes we think we do, but, many a time we don't. I have a personal experience about that. One night I was praying, and for some reason, I asked God, Lord, grant me your heart. I'd like to have your heart. And God immediately answered me in my impression in my mind, do you really want that? Immediately, I was overwhelmed with the burden and the size of God's heart, dealing with all humanity, heartbreaks and, brokenness and rebellion and disobedience and all other things, over 7 billion people. I was overwhelmed. So I said, Lord, I don't want it. I backed off from my heart, from my request. Sometimes we don't know what we are asking. Other times we make requests that are just right, just pleasing to the Lord. Here are the things that God, answers our requests right away. When his name is at stake, I don't have enough time. I want you to pay attention to cases that God answers right away. Whenever we ask for what is right, such as just decisions, or when we ask for nearness of God, Lord, help me to walk with you. God answers that, prayers. Or simply we ask what is pleasing to the Lord. Here is an example. We all know King Solomon. He was the wisest king in history. You know, he became a king when he was like in his early 20s, in my best calculation. So God appeared to him in his dream. Solomon, you are about to be king. Ask me whatever you want. And Solomon says, Lord, all I want is wisdom to govern your people. God was so impressed with Solomon's request. This is what he says. You didn't ask for your long life. You didn't ask riches for yourself. You didn't ask the life of your enemies either, but only for the discernment to understand justice and for wisdom to govern my people. And God says, okay, this is what I'll do. I will not only give you discernment and wisdom, but also I will add riches and honors. That's something that you never asked for. When we ask, make requests pleasing to the Lord, God responds right away. There are other times, though, we make foolish mistakes. Have you done it? I've done it multiple times. That later on we regret as we pay for the consequences. Once again, examples from the Bible is this. You know, the kingdom of Israel, where David was the king, Solomon was the king, and so forth, it didn't last more than 500 years, just to let you know. But before that, the people of Israel had no king. They looked around their surrounding kingdoms, and every other nations but them, themselves, had the king. So they said, Lord, we want a human king. And God says, am I not your king? Why do you ask for another human king? And Israel said, well, everyone else has it, therefore we'd like to have it too. And God says, are you sure that's what you want? And they say, yes, that's what we want. Oh, by the way, if you're reading the Bible, you know, book by book, when you hit the book called Judges, that's what it is. They didn't have a human king. Judges, the leaders of, spiritual leaders of Israel, you know, guided by God. And right after that, kingdom starts. Anyway, so Israel said, we want human king. And God says, okay, is it really what you want? And they said, yes, that's what we want. And they got it. But nothing, you know, after that, just all the troubles they had, and later they regretted. Here's another example. We all know that Moses led the people of Israel out of kingdom of, you know, Egypt. We call Exodus. And they just went around in the wilderness for the next 40 years. And God provided the heavenly food we call manna. But they were sick and tired of eating manna all the time, morning and evening, morning and evening. So they said to God, can we have something else? But in the way that they expressed their wish, the Bible says it was grumbling and rebellion. We don't like you, God, because you never give me nothing but, you know, just only this manna. It was so bad that it provoked God to anger. You know what God says? Okay, you will get what you ask for, meat. So he sent thousands of quail, and they all dropped on the ground so that the people of Israel ate all this, you know, meat. But right after that, you know what happened? God punished them. Thousands of them perished. And some of us, our just the normal mind say, what kind of God is this? Where is God's kindness here? Isn't it just one time just in providing meat? Now you have to understand, God was provoked day and day, you know, day after day after day, people complaining. Again, there's a difference between complaining and grumbling. Grumbling means that I don't like you, God. I don't want you to be my God, and that kind of bad attitude. And provoked God anger, you know, so many days and years that God says, okay, you will get what you want, but here's the consequences that you pay. Now, so, the next question is, what should we ask for? Since God asks us to ask continually. Generally, we ask for whatever needs we have in our daily lives. It could be financial help, new job opportunities, peace, healing, restoration of relationships, salvation of our family members, even finding lost items, and so forth. Now, we can ask for a greater cause, such as God's kingdom to be advanced, and God's will be done, like we say in the Lord's Prayer too. And we can ask for divine guidance and protection for our leaders. I know some of you don't like President Trump, but as a Christian, you must pray for our leaders. Before you say, I don't like him, I understand. But before you say it, pray for our leaders. Half of the Republicans, you know, don't like Democratic, whatever president. Same thing. Okay, before you show your preference, do your Christian duty. Pray for the guidance and wisdom and protection of our leaders. We can pray for our parents and children, co-workers, and so forth. Now, let me tell you what you should never ask for. Never ask for your own sensual pleasures or greed. Lord, I just bought a lottery ticket. I want to win $2 million or something. Chances, you'll never get it. If you ask something with wrong motives, Lord, I want to hurt someone. Asking with wrong motives will never be answered. Now, we must practice with requests that we are making to God, and we have to master it. In other words, you ask, as Jesus commands, and you make some mistakes, and you examine what have I done wrong, and you learn from mistakes and repeat. Ask, learn, and repeat. Now, personally, I have made thousands of requests in the past, you know, how many years of Christian, and still making silly requests like, Lord, I want your heart. And later on, I say, oh, what did I ask? Still learning, but one thing I am determined to do, which I also encourage you to do the same, is this. As long as I live, I'll keep presenting my cases to God as God commands through prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. That's my plan. Now, I'm going to present to you one action point. I encourage you to experiment with prayer requests. Remember, act of asking for the next 3 months. I want you to just get a piece of paper, and draw three lines in between. That means that it will make four columns. The first column, write down the date of starting your prayer. Easy enough. March the 4th today. Second column is, what are you praying for or about? The contents of prayer. Now, you have to be very specific. Don't ask God, Lord, give me whatever. It's not going to work. You have to be very specific. Lord, I want a triangle today. I want rectangle tomorrow. Very specific, okay? And the third column goes, the date that your prayer has been answered. The last one is, how was it answered? Let me tell you, there are three types of answers. Yes, no, or wait. I'm going to get to that later on. But anyway, this experiment that I'm recommending you to do, I practiced in my college days. You know, I was a baby Christian at the time, and my personality always this. I don't simply trust whatever people say that this works or not. I want to experiment myself and find out myself whether it's working or not. So when someone told me that prayer works, I said, okay, is it really working for me too? That's how I experimented myself. For 6 months, not just 3 months. I still remember 96 entries I made in. 96. It's like almost one request every other day, if you think of it. And after 6 months, I realized that all of them, with no exception, answered. Isn't that great to find out that, wow, I prayed for 96 times, and God answered every single one of them. Now, 80% of the answers were yes. 15% of the answers was no. And about 5% of the answers was wait. As I said, three types of answers you will see. Yes, that's when you mostly like ask for God's glory, or for his pleasure, or for your genuine needs. No, if you get no, most likely that you have some unresolved issues, unrepented issues, sin, like you still have not forgiven someone in your life. Okay? Holding grudge against that individuals. Or, you ask with wrong motives, as I said, to hurt someone, or for sensual pleasures, or even for greed, or sometimes testing God, or simply it was not God's will for you. Okay? For example, Lord, I want to be the President of the United States. God said, it's not for you. It's something of that nature. Now, the third category is not yet or wait. Maybe it's not God's time yet. He will give you, but not time yet. Or sometimes God simply trains us to be more patient, endure through the prayer, or sometimes we cannot handle it. Maybe God will someday will give me his heart, but I cannot handle it now. You see what I'm saying? Now, very briefly, I'm going to tell you there are five ways to ask. Five ways to ask when you ask. Number one is that ask in Jesus' name. John 14:14, Jesus says, if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. If you are an average intelligent person like I am, you read it again. Jesus said, if you ask me anything in my name, I'll do it. So we want to make sure that we ask whatever we ask in Jesus' name. You know, some of the Christians, I noticed, they pray all these things, beautiful words, genuine and sincere, and they say, amen. And I begin to wonder, why don't you say all these things in Jesus' name? And they say, it's the same. I said, it's not the same. I think Jesus would pay attention more when you say, we ask all these things in your name, as you promised. Okay, so I'm just telling you, ask in Jesus' name is crucial. Number two, ask with faith. Meaning that believe that you have already received what you pray for. It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, 3 months ago, my family adopted a stray cat. A cat's name is Sunny. Now, last week, Saturday morning, both I and my daughter Sarah noticed that her left eye was kind of half closed. In other words, she couldn't open all the way up. It's like, squinted. So we thought it was funny, but we tried to help her, but she ran away. So what we do is that, okay, this is weekend, that's not, open, and weekend is not a good time for me. Pastor working on sermon, I want to concentrate on, Sunday morning service and so forth. So what else can we do? We decided to pray for the cat. So I laid my hand on the cat's head. Lord, please open, Sonny's eye to a full. Make it and restore it. That's what I said. And so did my family members. We all prayed together. And so Sunday morning, after service, went home Sunday afternoon, we began to notice her eye beginning to go up. And just about 80% open. And we kept praying. And by the Sunday night, guess what? The eye was entirely fully open. We didn't have to take her to bed. Now, at our dinner conversation Sunday, we all said, isn't that great? God answered our prayers. But at the same time, we humbly admitted that our faith was not that strong. When we started praying, none of us, including yours truly, expected it's going to happen. You see, we didn't believe that we already have received. But Jesus says, ask with faith. And let me tell you this. Oh, Pastor Choi, I'd like to be what Jesus says. I'd like to believe. Is it coming just overnight? No, folks. Did you hear? I prayed thousands of times, and it's still my faith coming along little by little, little by little. You need to practice that ask with faith. Don't be afraid. Oh, can I really believe it? What if it doesn't happen? We all go through that doubt, okay? But don't go into that route. Simply say that, Lord, I believe. I already have received. Okay, practice. Number three, ask without worries. Did I tell you that worries kill faith? They are the arch enemy of faith. With worries, have this the picture in your mind. Whenever you start worrying about something, you want to pray to God, but you block yourself, self-blockade your entry to God's throne room, like putting all these boxes around you when I try to get into the room through the door. So you need to put a stop to worries and get rid of them before you pray. Once again, it requires practice. Number four, ask with thanksgiving. Gratitude paves your way into God's throne room. Yes, that's baby even agrees with me. That's good. Bring her all the time, every Sunday morning. I like her. Number five is this. Ask with persistence. Jesus commands us to keep on praying at all times and not to lose heart. Yesterday, someone called me. Elderly lady. Pastor Choi, I've been praying for my son, his strange son. He didn't speak to me. I'm so frustrated. I said, how long you've been praying? She says, just over a year. I said, let me tell you this. There are some things that I'm still praying. Over 40 years, I'm still waiting. You need to persist. Perseverance in prayer. Okay? Now, just as for closing, I will say this. Imagine yourself like a baby, either boy or girl, you decide. Just started walking for the first time. Of course you will fall. Of course you will stumble. However, as you keep on trying and practicing walking daily, and eventually you know that you will stand all by yourself and walk with no problem. Prayer goes the same way. Your life, of course you will make some mistakes and silly requests like I have done lots of times. But the question is, you will learn from mistakes and ask, learn, repeat. Ask, learn, repeat. And you'll be a master in prayer very soon, asking for God's favor in your walk with God. Your life will not be the same. Let's bow our heads and pray. Relationship, Lord. That word keeps coming back to me. A lot of us see our Heavenly Father only 1 hour a week. The rest of 167 hours, we feel and we act like we are on our own. Yes, we come to you in times of crisis, but God says, can you walk with me every single moment? Help us to remember Jesus' words, command, ask, and it will be given to you. It's not a suggestion. Help us to obey you, asking and asking for your help. As we do, Lord, God in heaven, our Father, will be delighted to answer our prayers. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.